Morning.
Good. Well, as usual, I feel extremely unqualified to be preaching on the topic of the day, so we're just going to dive right in. All right. When I was 12 years old, I remember just being so bored with church. I remember sitting in the back pew wondering why I had to get dragged into church on Sunday morning. There was so much better things that I would rather do my time than sing some songs and listen to some guy preach, and it didn't help that it was my dad. And it wasn't just Sunday morning, it was Sunday night prayer, it was Wednesday night youth group, any other event that happened during the week, during the month. I'm sure that some of you can relate to growing up that way. Fast forward 13 years after I came back to Christ, and I remember being 25 years old, and after that initial excitement of finding truth and realizing that there is a God and there is a better way, after that excitement wore off, the Christian activities, right, they started to bore me again. I started to experience that same boredom that I did when I was 12 years old. It wasn't until I learned that church is supposed to be a spectator sport. I'm sorry. It wasn't until I learned that church wasn't supposed to be a spectator sport that I actually started to realize that God had equipped me and empowered me to contribute to his great mission. That's when church started to be interesting for me. See, if we're not careful, we can profess our faith and we can be part of religious activities, but end up never participating in the spiritual. And you know what happens when you just attend religious activities for long enough? They become religious obligation. And religious obligation will only last for so long. Some of you might be like, man, that's why I came this morning. I just felt obligated. See, every believer, we've been given a spiritual gift. In fact, I believe we have all been given various gifts. We could get gifts at different points in our life for different reasons, at different times, to serve different needs. 3 weeks ago, I talked about how every believer has a general calling to move towards maturity in their faith, growing and loving the body in unity. And when you enter into a relationship with God, you're given the Spirit of God that starts to transform the way you act and the way you think into God's image. But I also mentioned that you're given a specific and a unique purpose, and that the Spirit equips you with what you need to walk out that calling. And this morning, we're going to be starting a six-week series on the gifts of the Spirit, specifically the sign gifts, because we want everyone to understand, to be aware of the various gifts that God gives us to equip to love the church better. And so I want to just start by giving a definition for spiritual gifts, because I want to use those two words, spiritual gifts, probably about 50 times in this message, and I want us all to know where I'm coming from. And so this comes from the book, Beginner's Guide to Spiritual Gifts by Sam Storms. Highly recommend the book if you want to take a deep dive into the various sign gifts. I encourage you to read it. And a lot of my material came from that. And then some of the people that will also be preaching in the series utilize this book. And so here's a working definition for us today. A divinely empowered or spiritually energized potential to minister to the body of Christ by communicating the knowledge, the power, and love of Jesus. I repeat that. A divinely empowered or spiritually energized potential to minister to the body of Christ by communicating the knowledge and the power and the love of Jesus. And so with that definition, let's look at our text this morning. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 11. And I'll just go ahead and read that for you this morning. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans and you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, to another according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's just pray. Lord, I need your help this morning. I need your help this morning to communicate what you want me to communicate, Lord. Help me communicate it accurately. Help truth come from my mouth, Father. Let it be received, Lord, as you wish it to be received. Let us learn. Let us grow together as a church, God, in love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to lay some, let's set the text aside for a minute. I want to lay some groundwork. Let me lay some groundwork before we take a deep dive into the various verses. And I want to start off by giving some reasons why we're focusing specifically on the sign gifts. Those are those nine gifts that I just listed, right? Gift of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, gift of miracles, gift of faith, gift of healing. I'm missing a couple, tongues and interpretation. And so those are the nine gifts that's listed in verses 8 through 10. And so why are we just focusing specifically on those and not necessarily talking about all the gifts of the Spirit in this series? And so the first reason is the sign gifts, they're hard to recognize in ourselves. They're hard to recognize. They're not obvious, right? If someone has the gift to serve or the gift of leadership, it tends to stand out, right? It's easier to recognize gifts like teaching, helping, in administration, right? Because a lot of times these gifts, they're already kind of headed towards our natural leanings, right? So we can recognize that. We already have a natural bent towards some of those gifts. And that's not to confuse spiritual gifts with natural talents. And so let me break those up for you. There's a difference. And the main difference being the Holy Spirit, right? So a talent, it's an ability or gift, if you want to call it that, that you were born with. Right? Every human is born without the Holy Spirit. We do not come into this world knowing God, and we do not have God dwelling with us. But we still have the abilities and talents that God, the creator of the universe, has given us to thrive in this world. Right? That's God's grace on all mankind. So someone can be extremely talented teacher, right? They can captivate people with their words, yet they can be a staunch atheist. And they could use their talent to declare that God doesn't exist. But the fact that God allows him to thrive in a unique way, even while denying God's existence, is the Creator's grace on all mankind. And so natural talent, it's something you're good at, but it does not require the working of the Holy Spirit within you. It still comes from God, but it's not a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift, on the other hand, is a talent or an ability or service that a Christian has that is empowered by the Holy Spirit that's inside of them. This is why the spiritual gift can sometimes overlap with a natural talent, right? You might have always had a natural leaning or extra ability in a certain area, but now you're saved and the Holy Spirit is inside of you. That natural talent has the potential to be combined with the Holy Spirit and expressed as a spiritual gift, right? And so you take that same atheist who didn't know Christ, who didn't have the Spirit inside him, and then he gets saved. He still has the ability to teach, but now that ability to teach can be combined with the Holy Spirit and expressed in a way that demonstrates knowledge, that demonstrates power, and demonstrates love towards the body. And that can be exercised now as a spiritual gift. I hope that makes sense. Hope you're tracking with me. But, and this can be a big but, right? A spiritual gift can also be an ability completely foreign from anything natural about you at all. And the sign gifts, the reason we're focusing on them in this series, is these nine gifts tend to be gifts that are not obvious, right? And completely counter to our own natural talents and leanings. But just because they are counter to our natural leanings does not mean we cannot learn to recognize them and then step out in them. And so the second reason we're focusing on the sign gifts is because since they are not obvious, they can be controversial and confusing. And I put these two words together because a lot of times things are controversial because they're confusing, right? And so we believe that all the gifts, including the sign gifts, are for today. We believe that they will be for the church until Jesus comes back. But even among us, right, even though we agree on that as a church, there's a lot of different opinions. And there's a lot of questions about the gifts and the workings of the Holy Spirit. What is prophecy? And is prophecy in the Old Testament different than prophecy in the New Testament? Is it okay? When is it okay to use the gift of tongues? When do we need someone to interpret? How do I know if it's a word of knowledge or just me putting two and two together? Right? There's a large spectrum of beliefs and different understandings around the sign gifts, even among those who are charismatic. And so our hope in this series is to bring some clarity around those gifts. We want to bring clarity and we want to bring confidence so we'll step out in them. Therefore, the third reason we're focusing on these nine gifts is so we open them, right? We want you to open your gifts. We want you to learn to use them. We as a church need the gifts that God wants to express through you. Look, if you have the gift of healing and you've been sitting here listening to me talk about my kids being sick for the last 2 months and you hadn't stepped up, right? We need you to step up, amen? When one member suffers, the whole body suffers. That's what Paul says, right? So without the full expression of the body, we suffer. Maybe there's just going to be one time in your life when you're ministering to someone who desperately needs to be touched by God. And the Holy Spirit is going to manifest himself. That's a spooky word, right? Manifest. Manifest himself through you in such a way that he will give you the exact miracle to change that person's life. Or there might be a time when we as a church were gathered together and someone shares a tongue and it's you who God gives you the interpretation that gives us as a body exactly what we need to hear in order for us to move forward. But if you're not open to the Holy Spirit working through you in this way, or you don't know how to recognize the way that he works, then it's not going to be just you who suffers, but it will be the whole church. So our hope by focusing on these sign gifts these next 6 weeks, that it will help us grow up into a more perfect expression of God's love. And so let's look back at the text. In the middle of this letter, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he starts providing correction for orderly worship. He starts that in chapters 8 through 14. He goes through different behaviors that the church should be careful about when they gather together. And he addresses a number of areas, everything from eating food sacrificed to idols, to differences in appearance for men and women, to proper ways to partake in communion. And then in chapter 12, Paul goes into what he calls the spiritual. The spiritual. In verse 12:1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," and actually that word gifts isn't even in the Greek. And in fact, the Holman, I think it reads better when it says, "Now concerning what comes from the Spirit," or another way to say it is, "Now concerning the spiritual." Now concerning the spiritual. And Paul takes chapters 12 through 14 to discuss the purpose and the use of spiritual gifts. Because it seems the Corinthians, they weren't lacking in spiritual gifts, and they weren't shy about using the spiritual gifts, even the sign gifts. And in fact, one particular gift, the gift of tongues, seemed to be used so often in the wrong context that it had become a problem and a distraction and was no longer serving its purpose, which is to build the body up in love. And so I'm sure when Derek preaches on the gift of tongues and interpretation in a couple weeks, he will go into chapters 14, so I'm going to stay in my lane. But in chapter 12, Paul emphasis is on the reason for the spiritual gifts. And so looking at verse 4, he says, "There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit." And so here we see the word for gifts used, charismata, which is obviously where we get the word charismatic from. That's why we are a charismatic church, because we believe all of the gifts, including the sign gifts, are here for today, right? So charismata is defined as a gift of God's grace on your life. And we know that God's grace is what? It's undeserving favor. That's what God's grace is, undeserving favor. So when Paul refers to eternal life in Romans 6:23 as charisma, he's saying that the gift of eternal life is God's grace on all believers. You tracking? So Paul says there are a variety of gifts, and there are a variety of different expressions of God's grace in us and working through us coming from the same Spirit, right? And so he uses similar language in Ephesians 4 when he says there are different measurements of grace given to us. In Ephesians 4, he's also talking about the gifts. So the first point that I want to make about the gifts is God decides what gifts we receive. God decides what gifts we receive. He decides what gifts we receive. He decides with what amount of power we receive them. He decides when we receive them. Romans 12, 6, which is also referencing the gifts, it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So this is important because I've heard people say that all the gifts are available to every believer at any time. But that does not seem to be the way that Paul talks about them. We're told to pursue the gifts and to ask for the gifts. But this idea that we can access any gift when we want to, we just have to ask for it. We just have to have enough faith and God will give it to us. That doesn't seem to be the way that Paul's describing the gift. And I know that this flies kind of in the face of the name it, claim it type theology, right? But the idea that we can have any gift anytime we ask for it, that assumes that we always know what to ask for, right? That assumes that we always know what to ask for, but God instead, he uses different gifts at different measures at different times based on his sovereign and gracious purpose. And so I've asked for the gift of tongues for the last 5 years. I've done all the things people say to do. I've prayed continually. I've had people pray for me. I've come up multiple times. I've been prayed on. I've had hands laid on me. I've opened my mouth and tried to talk, right? But I haven't received the gift of tongues. And that's not to say that I won't ever receive the gift of tongues. In fact, I'm going to keep asking for it, right? I'm going to keep asking for it. And maybe I will, but maybe I won't, right? But Paul is saying that there's a variety of gifts spread out amongst you. There's a bunch of different gifts. There's a bunch of ways to serve the body. And there's a lot of ministries in which God's power can work through you. So Paul's emphasis on this point again, in verse 6, it says, God empowers them all and everyone. God empowers them all and everyone. Again, the Holman, it says, God who activates each gift in each person. So God looks at Bethany Church and all the different types of people he brought together, all the different personalities and all the different needs, and he gives to each knowing what will grow us up in love. So to quote Sam Storms again, he says, spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, energizing our souls, imparting revelation to our minds, infusing power in our wills, and working his sovereign and gracious purpose through us. And so God gives us what we need when we need it, but that does not mean that we don't have control over the gifts, right? If God's gift just came on us or out of us without us having any control, then Paul wouldn't be instructing the Corinthians on how to use their gift in an orderly way. But we actually see the gifts talked about in a way where we can actually turn them on and turn them off. And so here's the tension. Here's that tension of understanding the gifts, right? That God gives gifts as he wills, but also the gifts do not operate outside of our will. So the gifts do not operate independently of our will. That's my second point. The gifts do not operate independently of our will. Paul says in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each, or to everyone in the church is given the manifestation, there's that spooky word again, of the Spirit for the common good, right? So this is pretty much the theme verse of chapter 12 right here, right? That everyone has something to give. Everyone has a part. Everyone can manifest the power and the knowledge and the love of Jesus to build up the body of Christ at any time. And the gifts are not something that is just going to happen if you do not pursue them, right? In Romans 12, 6, the verse I used earlier, remember that verse? It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace God given to us. Then he says, so let us use them. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. Right? So it seems that God gives various giftings at various levels, but we have to choose to step out in our gifting and to exercise that gift to its fullest potential. So it seems that, in fact, a couple more verses to look into. In 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul tells Timothy, young Timothy at the time, right? He just said right before this, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And so if you are young in here and your parents drag you to church this morning, I want you to listen, because if you have the Holy Spirit, you got a gift inside of you, right? He says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Right? And then Paul again, he reminds Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, fan the flame. Fan the flame, the gift of God, which you receive through the laying on of hands. So we can see that we can have a gift, right, and not use it. And we can have a gift and we can increase in it. This is why we're doing a series, right? Because just because it's God who gives the gifts, right, it takes our will to open them. And so when it comes to the sign gifts, since they are not obvious, it might be for you to have to learn how to step out in that gift. And that actually might mean you might need to just try something, right? Because if it's not obvious, you might just need to step out and see if you have a gift. You might need to try to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And man, is that you? Is that and kind of step out in it, right? You have to desire them. But this is why it's important to remember that the spiritual gifts are spiritual, meaning they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because if there's one thing that's true about the Holy Spirit, is you can't nail him down through Scripture. He's always doing something different. He's always doing something different. And so this is where I land with the gifts, because it seems to be where Paul lands, that you have to allow love for others to be your gut check when desiring and pursuing and practicing the gifts, because it's tricky, right? I don't think it's a two-step process to just getting your gift and knowing your gift. I think we have to learn to figure it out as we learn to hear from the Lord, as we learn to trust others and the Holy Spirit working through them to learn what gifts we have. And so my last point, gifts are for building the body of Christ up in love. Right? Gifts are for building the body of Christ up in love. Again, verse 7, that the gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good. They are not given for our own gratification. Though when you're faithful, right, there can be a benefit from expressing your gift. It can be exciting to see the power of God working and moving through you, right? But all that's secondary to the primary point, that the gift is not for yourself, but for the greater good of the body. At the end of chapter 12, which we didn't read, but if you kept reading, you would have came to verses 29, where it says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? And the obvious answer is no there, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And when he's referring to the higher gifts there, he's talking about the gifts that most benefit the body of Christ, right? And so, and I will show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, he asserts this rant, right? Because obviously the letter was not broke up in the chapters, but he asserts this rant about love. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it's just a clanging cymbal. You can't understand it. If I have mysteries and knowledge and have all prophecy but have not love, I have nothing, right? If I give all I possess to the poor and sacrifice my body to the flames and have not love, I am nothing, is what he says. And so I think one of the reasons that the sign gifts are not used as frequent as they should be is because the action of loving people, it's not easy, and the whole point of the gifts is to love. See, loving people, even when using the sign gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not always fun. Even when what you're doing is spiritually infused, it can mean sacrifice. You have to put yourself out there. You have to pursue it. And when you really put yourself out there to love people, you might be rejected. Right? The supernatural is not always received by the natural. And you won't always see the fruit of it either. And it might mean looking like a fool to everyone else. So 10 years ago, I'd been at Bethany Global University, which is the campus we're on. It was my first year there, and I got a phone call, and it was my childhood's best friend's mom, and he was calling to tell me that Danny died. Danny died at age 30 years old. His heart stopped. They found, it was most likely an overdose. He had abused drugs his whole life, and he had pills and too much alcohol in his system. And so I flew home to Tennessee to go to the funeral, and this is one of my first times back to my home since walking with the Lord faithfully. And I was sitting at the funeral with the family, sitting up the front. I had Danny's daughter right next to me. And during the service, they had brought a preacher in from where the family was from in West Virginia. And he was just up there preaching good old fire and brimstone, right? Preaching judgment and condemnation for all to hear. And he definitely wasn't, he definitely didn't know Danny, right? He didn't know Danny because Danny didn't know the Lord, at least as far as I know. I never saw him express any knowledge about God nor care about it. We didn't care about God in those days. And he was about as rebellious as it gets. And so I remember turning around and looking at the 100 people sitting in the funeral home behind me, most of them around 30 years old. And they were people I know. I'd grown up with them, right? They were people that I'd sold drugs to. They were people that I'd bought drugs from. They were people that I had partied with. And most of them, as far as I know, they didn't know Jesus. And they were just staring with this blank expression at this preacher, right? He might as well have been talking a foreign language to them. That preacher was giving no hope. The preacher was giving no life. And all of a sudden, something just came over me, and I just knew what needed to be said. I had this clear message that just got downloaded in my head, and I knew what these people needed to hear. And I felt this pull to go up on stage. Now, I'm in the middle of a funeral. And I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit, and as far as I know, I'd never operated in a non-obvious gift of the Holy Spirit. But I couldn't let it go. I couldn't let it go. This message was just so clear. And man, these people that were broken, they just needed it. They needed it. And so with all the courage I had, I just walked up on stage right in front of the middle of the preacher preaching. Right? And don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. And to my surprise, he did not stop preaching. I mean, I thought I was being faithful and I thought God was going to help me out here. He didn't move from the pulpit. He didn't move from the mic. He saw me coming. In fact, he made a point to get right in front of me. And he just kept going. And I froze. I froze. I looked out of the funeral. I saw all the people staring at me, my friends that I'd grown up with. My family was there, right? And I just stood there waiting for him to offer me the mic, which he never did. And what felt like eternity, even though I had this message and this power and I was motivated and I was ready to say something, I froze and I stopped and I allowed everything around me to take over. And I allowed that preacher to stop me, stop what needed to be said. And what felt like eternity, probably only a minute, my friend's dad came up on stage, grabbed me, hugged me, right? And then I went and sat back down and felt like the biggest idiot I've ever felt in my life, right? And so embarrassed. And there's more to the story that I could tell, and I feel like I've shared that story in different ways before, but needless to say, I got an opportunity later to share that message, and guess what? The message was gone. I couldn't remember it, and still to this day, I have no idea. I know that it was something to do with 2 Corinthians 3, that we ourselves are a letter, and we're demonstrating we're a letter by the Holy Spirit. That's all I remember. There was this clear message at that time, and I was ready to give it. And in those days, that's before I even preached. I had no business saying anything. And so I tell that story because over the years I've seen the Lord give me various words at different times. And all but really one of them involves some type of sacrifice on my part. Right? And there have been times when I have not followed through in delivering my gift, like at the funeral. And there have been times that I've stepped out and listened to the Holy Spirit and delivered a gift and nothing happened. At least I didn't see the fruit of it. Right? And then there have been times when I've acted out in a gift and given a word and seen some radical things happen. And so I just think it's important because sometimes the gifts can be put in this type of light that they're always fun, they're always exciting, they're always joyful. And man, when it comes to loving people, everything you do takes sacrifice. It's hard. You have to sometimes step out in faith, right? And so I don't know what would have happened if I had shared that message. I mean, I don't think the funeral would have broke out in revival. Maybe. That would have been awesome, but, you know. And so as we go through this series and we talk about the 9 gifts, we want you to know what to expect and how to open your gifts so you walk in it, right? And if you don't understand that loving people can involve putting yourself out there, then you maybe will never miss some of the most important opportunities to minister to others that you'll have in your life. And so in conclusion, I'm just going to finish up and I go ahead and invite the worship team up. Paul says in verse 8, for one is given through the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And so I just want to give some application. I want to give three calls to action for you today, church. The first is to come back. We're going to be in this for the next 5 weeks. Right? Next week, Ken Krause is going to come up and he's going to share on the gift of faith and healing. Followed by that, Derek will be in tongues and interpretation, and then Dave in prophecy and distinguishing between spirits. And you thought manifestation was spooky. Wait till we get there, right? Distinguishing between spirits? What's he talking about? Then Robbie, we'll have Robbie come back up. He'll be in miracles. And then I'll conclude with the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And so we're going to go through each of these gifts because we want you to understand them. We want you to learn how to recognize them. Maybe as we're talking about them, you might be like, man, I feel like I felt the Holy Spirit impress that on me before. And you might actually start seeing that you have that gifting. Or again, maybe there'll just be one time in your life, God wants to use one of these giftings. And we want you to know what to look for and to be ready and have the confidence to step out in it. And so the second call to action that I want to give you as a church is that you be willing to look for opportunities to exercise them, right? I think a lot of times if you're like, man, I'm into the gifts of the Spirit, I'm open to them, but you've never put yourself out there to love anybody. You've done any street ministry, you've never done any evangelism. You don't come into church with the idea to serve. Instead, you come in, I'm just going to be a spectator today, opposed to coming in and saying, God, what can I do to serve this body today? Give me a word, God. Give me a prayer for somebody. Is somebody sick? You see somebody walking, you see my kids walking by you coughing? Go put your hands on them. I dare you, right? You got to look for opportunities to exercise them. And it's okay. We're going to make mistakes. It's okay for it to get a little bit messy, right? The Holy Spirit seems to be a little messy. It's hard to understand. The third application, third call to action that I want to give you is that you pray for God to ground us in love as we try to step out in our gifts, right? Love is the seatbelt, right? That's what will protect us. Bethany Church's history, we have a pretty interesting, profound, and exciting history when it comes to the gifts. The Holy Spirit has done some amazing things throughout history. You'll probably hear some of these stories if you come back in over the next 5 weeks. God has done some amazing things, workings, Holy Spirit falling, Holy Spirit coming through. It's been fairly incredible. But we've also seen pretty big division because of the workings of the Holy Spirit and gifts and different opinions about how those work. And so I just want to encourage us as a church that we make sure that love and love for each other is the reason that we want to step out in the gifts. That we say, God, I want to walk in that unique, that specific calling that you've given me. I want to find my purpose. I don't want to be bored, right? I don't want church just to be a spectator sport. I want to step out in it. I want to live for all that God has for me to do. But God, I want to do that because you love me, and so therefore I want to love others, right? That has to be what grounds us as we go into this series. And so that's my third call to action. And so let's just pray and go into a time of worship. There'll be people on the sides. If you want to get prayer, you want to maybe get prayer for a gift, you can do that. There'll be people on the sides. You go get prayer, right? You can come to the front. You can bow down on your knees. You're welcome to do that here. We encourage that. So let's just pray and then go into a time of worship with the Lord. Man, you are such a good God to give us things that are crazy and that are exciting and that are beyond anything that we could imagine doing. To put us in situations that we wouldn't want to be in, right? To accomplish things that we could never accomplish on our own. And so, God, we just pray for your power. We pray for your knowledge. We pray for your love, Lord. We pray that we are just filled with your Holy Spirit, God. And that we are confident, Lord, that our children are confident, that these young men and women who come in here, that they know that they have the Holy Spirit and they have a gift and they can contribute also, Lord. Don't let us be spectators in your great mission of reconciling the world back to yourself. Let us step in that, Father. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.